Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear the second of two debates with candidates for the office of mayor of the city of Omaha. Today's participants, the winners in the April 2nd mayoral primary, will be Jean Stothert, current Omaha City Councilwoman, the actual winner of the primary election with 32% of the vote in a field of seven candidates, and incumbent Mayor Jim Suttle, who came in second in the primary with 24% of the vote, seeking his second term in office. This program, co-sponsored by the Omaha League of Women Voters, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, April 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the candidates is our moderator, Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Each of our candidates will get 1 minute and 30 seconds to respond to each question, plus an additional 30-second response. Their remarks will be timed. The questions have been prepared by a committee of the Press Club and the League of Women Voters members. The candidates have not seen the questions in advance. No hollering, hooting, or applause during the debate, please. But you can do that now as we invite the candidates to come up, Jim Suttle and Gene Sutt. All right. Our first question goes first to Gene Stothert. Name two ways you see yourself as significantly different from your opponent in managing the affairs of the city.
I have a really different philosophy and a different approach. In my past experiences on the Millard School Board and now my 4 years on the Omaha City Council, I'm very fiscally conservative. I always want to make sure that I keep in mind whose money I am spending. My first choice is always a reduction of spending rather than new taxes. I think my record is very, very clear. My time on the Millard School Board, from the time I started until the time I was off the Millard School Board, we had a 20% reduction in the property tax levy. And I felt like we found the efficiencies that we needed to find during that school district, although it was a high-achieving school district. My approach while I was on the city council has been the same. I want to make sure that our city government is running as efficiently as possible and all reductions in spending are there before we would ever approach with raising taxes and making it harder for the citizens of Omaha and the business of Omaha to live here and grow here and be successful.
Jim Suttle, a minute 30.
Okay. In 2009 and 2010, your wonderful city had discovered that the foundation of funding city services, the state and local sales tax, was nowhere near where it would be able to do the job. So during that period, we had to solve horrific problems. We cut some $40 million in spending, but we still have a revenue problem. So we raised revenue, which was what we were counseled to do by Moody's and Standard & Poor's. Now we have everything in balance. Now it works. So that simple equation that's followed in business that I learned at HDR, that revenue minus expenses should be a positive number, is in place. We're delivering services. We've gone to the good times of 2010 and 11. We're going to stay there. Your city's in the black. But during this entire 4 years, the difference between me and my opponent, she has been the voice of no constantly on this city council. She has been someone who did not participate in finding solutions, but found a way to create barriers. We are going to the future, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the difference. Someone who has a vision of no that's going backwards, someone like me who has a vision of the future that's taking us forward. That's the main differences.
Gene Stothert, a 30-second response.
Thank you. You know, The people in Omaha in the last 4 years were saying no, and I listened. Sometimes you have to say no. I say no when I feel like we need to. No to new taxes, no to higher fees, no to regulations, no to labor contracts that the taxpayers can't afford. Saying yes is easy. Saying no is very, very difficult at times. But sometimes you need to do that to keep the city going into the right direction. Yes to a reduction of spending. Yes to looking out for the taxpayers and their dollars in their pockets.
Mayor Sotto?
Well, I campaigned to be the mayor for all people and to listen to all people, and I think I've done that. And yes, there are those who want to say no taxes, no spending, no whatever. We did cut spending. But there was a preponderance of the citizens who said, keep our libraries open. I did. Keep our swimming pools open. We did. Mow the grass in the parks and get the trees trimmed and cut. We did. Get the streets resurfaced. We did. We're looking forward. And we also restored that AAA bond rating so we could go forward as a city. That's what the people asked for.
Next question. Mayor Suttle, explain your decision to increase salaries for some of your top administrative employees during the economic downturn, which you were sharply criticized for at the time.
Well, the mayor has the discretion under the charter to employ and set the terms and conditions for the heads of each of the departments. I decided when I took office in 2009 that I would put in place a fixed salary for those that were coming into public service. My CFO cut her salary $40,000. She did that unilaterally to help out. As we move forward in time, I discovered some things that were out of sync. So two of the salaries, which covers about $40,000, I increased because of the service to the city and the fact that certain individuals were saving millions of dollars for the city in the efficiencies. We're worrying about, in this question, $40,000 when my opponent spent nearly $9 million in this fire contract, costs that are in the operations of the fire department now that are not covered in the 2013 budget. So why are we worrying about $40,000 with two people when we should be worrying about what she spent with $9 million of the taxpayers' money on unnecessary operating expenses in the fire department?
Gene Stothard, in light of the criticism that Mayor Suttle received, would you be willing, and why or why not, to reduce salaries to the levels they were before Mayor Suttle raised them?
Yes. You know, when Jim Suttle ran and was elected, he promised that he would hire his directors at a salary and freeze them for 4 years. It took the city council digging into the 13 budget to discover that indeed four directors had not only been budgeted for a very hefty salary increase, but they had already been receiving that salary increase. The thing that concerned the city council as well as the community was, even though when you look at the whole budget, it was a small amount of money compared to the entire general fund budget, it was an indication of a bigger problem. What else is going on in that budget that isn't transparent that the taxpayers don't know about? The city council passed a resolution that admonished the mayor for giving out those salaries and asked the mayor to return them to their original budgeted salary that was in the budget that the city council appropriated the money for. So we took that action, although a resolution is not legally binding. The city council on a whole wanted those salaries returned to their original budgeted amount that we were aware of and that we appropriated for.
Mayor Suttle, for 30 seconds.
Well, years ago, when Mike Harper, the former CEO of ConAgra, was inducted into the Business Hall of Fame, he made this statement. He said, quote, I learned a long time ago, you hire good people, you pay them well, and you get out of their way, and you'll see the results. That's what I've done. The results are we've got tens of millions of dollars in savings throughout the city of operations, and your city is working like a business. Those savings are coming back in the form of benefits to you, the taxpayers.
Gene Stothard?
Mayor Suttle, when those salaries were discovered, you and your staff made comments in the press that it was not handled well. Everyone recognized it. I do believe that the citizens in Omaha were stunned by it. And when we are having a problem with our city like we were having, and we were trying to reduce salaries, and businesses and families all over the city were trying to get by with as small amount as they can because of the economy, those actions really promoted a lack of trust and a lack of confidence.
Gene Stothert, you have been especially critical of tax increases. Mm-hmm. Mayor Suttle said he needed to fix financial problems he found when he came into office. Let's focus on one, the restaurant tax, which you voted against. It has helped fill a major budget hole, raising more money than had been expected, thus indicating little or no repercussions for Omaha restaurants, as many had predicted. Is it still a bad tax in your view? And if so, will you try to repeal it? And what would you replace it with?
Our philosophies are very different as far as our budgeting philosophies. I always would look first at a reduction of spending where it's very apparent. Mayor Suttle looks at first at an increase in revenue. The occupation tax, that's a revenue tax, I did oppose. I opposed it because many restaurants were struggling in Omaha at that time. The problem that I saw that was most egregious about it is in many cities that have a restaurant or an entertainment tax, that tax goes back to help the industry. This tax was promoted and approved to go into the fire and the police pension. It was estimated to bring in about $14 million a year. Now, it is bringing in an excess. It's bringing in around $25 million a year, and that money is going into the general fund. But with Mayor Suttle's statements recently saying that as he's closing out the 12 budget, that we are approximately $11 million over budget, about $5 million of that is because of excess funds for the restaurant tax. I think if there's excess funds, this is when we have to start thinking, is this an appropriate tax, and do we need to start reducing it? It's just a narrow tax that only targets a certain industry. If you need to tax, and many times you do, because taxes pay for the things that serve the city, it has to be fair and it has to be broad-based. An occupation tax like the restaurant tax is not.
Mayor Suttle, would there be tax hikes or new taxes, or could you see reductions, especially in the restaurant tax, in a subtle second term?
Well, I'll stand on what I've been saying all along, that in order for the city to deliver services, it has to have a strong revenue stream, but it also has to have discipline on the spending, and that's what we've done, both of those. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at the results. In 2012, as we close out the books, your wonderful city is delivering all those services you've asked for. Our revenue is stable. Performance-based budgeting is in place as we have the discipline on spending, and we are in the black some $10 million. That's the sign of a strong city. And you know what? We have a win. The restaurant industry wasn't hurt. It's had a 28% increase in its volume during the time period, the 2.5 years that the restaurant tax has been in place. We got a win-win. We added to our economy. We kept our city in the black. Now, we've done a lot of things here in promoting how to run the city efficiently. Let's look at the health care plans, reducing them from 36 to 3. Let's look at getting back the AAA bond rating. Let's look at the first 2 years of the fire department with performance-based budgeting. That first year, we saved $2.7 million in operating costs. Let's look at the golf courses, which were deeply in the hole, $500,000. We're now $200,000 in the black. This is part of the revenue stabilization, the efficiencies with what we're putting in place with performance-based budgeting, and the end result is a savings that's going to be passed on to the taxpayers.
Gene Stothert for 30 seconds.
If we want more revenue coming into the city instead of new taxes, what we need to do is grow our economy, and we need more citizens moving into Omaha. Ask me one business in Omaha that says they have promoted more jobs or they have grown and expanded because they are now paying 15% more in property taxes. Lower taxes bring in new businesses. Lower taxes makes it easier for our citizens to live here. Lower taxes are what will bring our young professionals staying here and not drive our retirees out.
Jim Sutter?
Well, let's look at the facts. Let's go back to 2012 and what my opponent's been saying. 2012, revenue minus expenses, we had a $10 million margin. Call it a margin, call it a surplus, call it whatever you want. It's $10 million in the black. She has been quoting since she started running for office that she's going to cut those three revenue streams. That's $60 million. How are you going to do that, Gene? Cut $60 million in revenue and increase spending for more police officers and still end up with $10 million in savings. How are you going to do that?
Jim Suttle, next question. Gene Stothert, maybe you can answer that later.
Okay, can do.
Jim Suttle, other cities have mitigated the expense of their federally mandated sewer separation projects with innovative green technologies. Name two green ideas that you have to reduce the substantial costs that Omaha homeowners and businesses are facing.
Well, we have in our plan 14 green solutions. And we are working with EPA's research group in Cincinnati to find 14 more. Certainly the green solutions will help us in a better solution as we look at this unfunded and federal mandate. But overall, the huge cost is in the deep rock tunnel. The green solutions are going to generate somewhere around 8% savings. We need to do better than that. 42% of the cost is in the deep rock tunnel. We need to find new technology to zap the bacteria in line in the pipes. And that's what we're working on, and that's what we're going to find. That'll be the true savings for the city of Omaha, a 42% reduction as we find a better mousetrap to treat our waste.
Gene Stothert?
Yeah, the CSO project, as a federally unfunded mandate, a $2 billion program that no money is attached to it. The key is we have to have the right leadership in Omaha to manage that program. Our agreement is with the state, with the DEQ, and the DEQ with the EPA. But it is an 18-year project, and we have to have a leader in our city that makes sure that every contract that is let and that the management of this contract is such is that we can continue to advance using more and more technology as it is developed. I do agree that the tunnel was about a third of the price of the entire project. That construction of that tunnel has been put at the end of the project because you are hoping as this project goes on that new technology, green technology, can be developed, and that part of that project may not be needed, which would save quite a bit of money with this project. But I think we really need to make sure that we have our management team, that we provide the leadership to make sure that all of those contracts are being let, are providing for the city and the taxpayers the best bang for their buck.
Jim Suttle for 30 seconds.
I don't know what all that means. Let's get back to how we handle this. We need to re-engineer the solution to find the savings. That's what I'm good at. I deal with processes. The process is in place with this plan. The plan is $2 billion. We now need to re-engineer part of it to find a savings on that 42% cost. On Monday, I will be one of six mayors representing the 773 jurisdictions across this nation that have this federal mandate. We'll meet for 3 hours with EPA. We're trying to work on finding better solutions for all cities, and I'm the engineer, and I'm the right one for this type of a job.
Gene Stothert.
I think the one other thing that we really have to keep in mind is the flexibility and the affordability of this project. The previous city council determined a rate ordinance for the CSO project. It was balanced between residential, industrial, and commercial customers. We need to make sure that we not only watch the progress of this big CSO project, but we have to make sure that the citizens of Omaha and the businesses of Omaha can afford it.
Next question. Both of you believe the job of negotiating with the city's labor union should be done by the mayor of the city, even though the city council took it away from Mayor Suttle in the negotiations with the firefighters. So, Gene Stothert, would you favor giving the negotiations back to the mayor if he wins a second term?
It depends on the mayor. In August of 2011, after the mayor tried to negotiate the fire contract for over 2 years, in a bipartisan unanimous vote of the city council, and it was a vote of no confidence, the city council voted to take the negotiating authority away from the mayor. We did that because we recognized that we had to have significant health care and pension reform if we wanted to go forward, and we felt like in a bipartisan effort that the mayor's contract did not go far enough. And instead of going down to the labor courts in Lincoln, the city council put the burden on ourselves, and we said we will try to negotiate, and we did, a better contract that will save the taxpayers millions of dollars. We were successful in doing that. We hired an independent negotiator. He was the one negotiating the contract. The city council's negotiating team, of which I was chairman of, led the negotiations, but we must continue on with the progress that we started. And so I would ask the city council, if I'm elected mayor, to give that authority back. It's their decision, since it was their decision to take it away, and they did it by resolution. But if it is given back to me as mayor, I will continue to use an independent negotiator and not a hired city employee to negotiate those contracts.
Wow. Jim Sunnell?
Well, let's deal with some truth and some facts and what went on here. My opponent campaigned with the city council to take away the authority from the mayor, and she succeeded in that. But she also stood tall and said, we're going to do better than what the mayor negotiated. Well, let's see if she did, because she keeps leaving out the comparisons of her contract, the Stothard contract, which would start in 2012, with a subtle contract that started in 2010. There's a missing two-year window. If you compare the numbers to the base years, whatever base year she wishes to pick, the pension reform for solvency was a push. The health care was a push. The big difference is that all the things that my negotiating team worked hard to get out of the contract, she put back in. When you total up the cost of that, it's nearly $9 million. She has to stand and take the responsibilities for what she said she would deliver something better, and she didn't. Now she's been campaigning on this since the fall. This is what she campaigned on. These are all the things she said she did, which she didn't do. So she needs to take the responsibility for what she delivered, just as I take responsibility for what I delivered. Her contract is costing the city of Omaha taxpayers nearly $9 million in operating costs that we did not have to expend.
Gene Stothard for 30 seconds.
Mr. Suttle, I always stand tall, but I will say the numbers speak for themselves. Our contract saved an additional $125 million in pension savings. It saved immediately $680,000 a year in health care. As of January 1st, 2013, the unfunded pension liability dropped by $30 million. We eliminated spiking. We raised the age of retirement from 45 to 55. And that vote to take the negotiating authority away from the mayor was proposed by Councilman Chris Jerram.
Mayor Saddle?
Well, let's look at the facts here. Comparison to comparison. Jean makes a reference here of savings on the pension reform. She's basing that on 2012, her date, my start date of 2010. What happened in that two-year window? We had the savings, and she didn't account for it. The same was with health care. And spiking? Spiking was over the minute I signed the document on my version. Her version has a 90-day window, and she gave up to 145 firefighters the option of spiking. Three did at a cost of $1.4 million to the pension fund.
Next question. Mayor Suttle, you joined with various mayors across the country in advocating for gun control legislation, a position led by New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg in the wake of the school shooting tragedy in Connecticut. There has been a belief in some quarters your position was hurt. That position hurt you in the primary. Do you stand by your support for gun control legislation? And what specifically do you support at the city, state, or federal level?
Well, that's a great question, but let's go back to 2009. Within the first couple of weeks that I took office, I signed on with the Bloomberg Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and we set in place a plan for the city of Omaha to fight hard to get illegal guns off the streets. As we went through the tragedies, I began to learn something and see something, and the public has changed their mind drastically, that you and I have Second Amendment rights to own and possess a firearm. But our children also have the right to go to school without the fear of being the victims of gun violence. and our families have the right to go to the mall or the theater or walk the dog to the park without the fear of gun violence. We have a conflict. We have to get ourselves together and find that middle ground that's going to protect the rights on one side and the rights on the other. And that's what I said I would champion, and that's what I'll do.
Gene Stother, do you support any kind of gun control legislation at the city, state, or federal level, and why or why not?
I support crime control, not gun control. I believe we have a Constitution. We have a Second Amendment to that Constitution, and I believe it must mean something. I believe that we have to start at the root of crime, and at the root of crime, you are not going to create new and more laws to create or for gun control that criminals will not follow. If you create new laws and stiffer laws for gun control, they only affect the law-abiding citizens. The criminals aren't going to abide by those new laws. You know, we have to address the criminal and not the instrument used to commit the crime. We have to address crime in a three-prong approach. It has to be prevention, intervention, and prosecution. But coming out with new and more expanded gun control laws is not going to get to the root of the problem, and it's not going to solve the problem.
Jim Suttle for 30 seconds.
In the case of all these shootings, let's pick Sandy Hook, pick Von Maur, pick the Aurora Theater, the perpetrator walked into that particular facility as a law-abiding citizen. They became a criminal when they pulled the trigger and caused people to fall down in death or injury. We need to find a better way to balance what's going on in our society and get some type of a dividing line between the civilian weapons that are for sport and for hunting and personal protection and military weapons that are there for one thing, and that's killing.
Gene Stother?
You are not going to correct or prevent illegal gun activity by creating more laws. I believe in the instant check system that is currently being used for background checks, and I support it as long as Second Amendment rights are being protected. But I do not believe that if we continue to try to add more and more laws, it is only going to affect the law-abiding citizens and affect their Second Amendment rights. We do have a mental illness problem. We do have a social problem. But again, let's go back to the root of the problem, which is the crime.
All right. Well, let's get into that a little bit more. A lot of citizens are worried about crime. Gene Stother, name two ideas that you have to reduce such violence in Omaha.
As I just said, if you want to address crime, it must be a three-prong approach. I have a very detailed crime plan that I announced several months ago or a month or so ago in my campaign, and in it I go into the detail. But what it says is you have to approach it a three-prong approach: prevention, intervention, and prosecution. As far as prevention, the most important thing is to keep our kids in schools. You know, the number one factor that contributes to crime is poverty. The number one factor that contributes to poverty is a lack of education. We have a miserable graduation rate in some of our areas in Omaha, in some of our school districts. If we want Omaha to really address the problem, have to keep our kids in school, have to have programs and work with our private partners with truancy programs, have to target those at-risk kids, have to provide mentoring programs. And although the mayor doesn't have any direct jurisdiction over the school district, the mayor must partner with those who do. And I don't think there's anyone more suited than myself, who spent 11 years on a public school board and understand the public school system. Intervention is the next. We must have the police we need. We must focus more police in those high-crime areas, provide them with the tools that they need. And prosecution, we must stand with judges for stiffer sentences for crimes committed with illegal guns. We must address the good time laws, and we must have stiffer laws for straw purchasers of guns.
Jim Suttle?
Well, my opponent covered a lot of things, particularly as we deal with the prevention side, that we're already doing. We're already doing after-school programs. We're doing summer youth employment, and we know that is a direct correlation to reducing youth violence. We're already doing technology, such as the shot spotters and new leased cruisers that let our officers have first-class equipment to use. We've created 41 neighborhood associations, particularly on the north side. And guess what? Four of those right now are starting to form citizen patrols. So we have a lot of things in place. But the big umbrella I want to put over all of this is to get people working. And thus, that gets us to the Ames Locust Industrial Park and why that is so important to get industry and light and warehousing in the heart of North Omaha to put people to work. My opponent has been against that project. She finally voted for it, but I don't think she'll keep her promise to keep that in place if she's elected. This is how we end the problems in the north side and across the city. Now, my opponent also talked about schools and students and keeping people in school, but she voted against expanding the dollars in the 2013 budget for truancy. This is one of the most important things we're doing right now, and the city is an active partner with Building Bright Futures to keep kids in school.
Gene Stothert for 30 seconds.
When Jim Suttle says we're already doing all those things, it gives the impression that everything is okay. We're going to stay with the status quo. We don't need to do anything else. I don't agree with it. People in Omaha do not feel safer than they did before. The crime rate in the last 2 years, in 2011 and 2012, is up. And if we keep on denying it, we're never going to address the problems. Property crime and violent crime are each up 10% in 11 and 12. We must recognize that and deal with the problem head on.
Mayor Suttle?
Well, she seems to be playing Jim Suttle against Jim Suttle here. Let's look at the bigger picture and not a snippet here and a snippet there. 2010, which I was mayor at the time, was the lowest stats in the 40-year history of keeping stats in the city of Omaha on criminal activities, from homicides to break-ins to burglaries to a host of others. We have had a leveling off of what's going on in our criminal activity because we have a first-class police department, we have the community policing, and we're going to continue those programs because they're working. We'll add more to it as we go forward.
Jim Suttle, if you could be guaranteed success with one project as mayor, what would that be?
The one project I would focus on in the next 4 years is economic development and job creation, and I will focus on those six projects that I have been talking about now for some 3 or 4 months. That's the new Marriott Hotel down at 10th and Capitol, packaging the Civic Auditorium site, the Crossroads, the Cancer Center, which my opponent opposed, also bringing into play the Ames Locust Industrial Park, and finally, the newest one added to this is packaging the new hockey arena, and your city will be an active participant in all of these to create the economic development and create the jobs, some 15,000 to 20,000, in my opinion, over the next 4 to 7 years.
Gene Stothert?
Same question. I think the thing that I am most proud of that I've done in the last 4 years would be the fire contract. Again, the city council took that burden on themselves. The fire contract saved the citizens of Omaha millions of dollars. The numbers speak for themselves. That's why the Omaha World Herald endorsed it after they analyzed it. That's why the Omaha Chamber of Commerce endorsed it. And it is something that the city council and I am quite proud of. I would like to say, and I need to tell Jim Suttle that he needs to quit saying that I opposed the Ames Locust development because I did not, and I still do not. We voted to lay it over for 4 weeks to allow further negotiations because the city was going to take it by eminent domain. I also did not disapprove the Cancer Center at the Med Center. My husband works there. I'm a nurse and a fundraiser for the Med Center. I opposed the funding of it because the funding was imposing a new tax on the citizens of Omaha and then giving the money to the Med Center after the taxpayers were already paying an additional $50 million with state money. I wanted the Med Center to thrive, but I want to be a good partner with them, just like the city was when they built the Durham Outpatient or the Durham Research Center and the new Med Center. They did that without taxpayer dollars in the city, and the city was a good partner with them when they built those facilities. The city needs to continue being a partner. But to say that I oppose those is absolutely false.
Jim Suttle for 30 seconds.
Well, I'm glad my opponent is admitting to you that she is proud of the fire contract, because she plagiarized what my professional team did, added nearly $9 million in cost to what we had accomplished, and now she's taking credit for it. Thank you. Let's talk about great cities. Great cities are great cities because they invest in themselves. We have the financial house in order. Now your city can be an active partner with the private sector, as you should in a public-private partnership, on these six venues that I just announced.
Jean Strother?
Saying that the fire contract was plagiarized shows that Jim Suttle does not know Nebraska law or how to negotiate a contract. When you start out with a new contract, because of Nebraska labor laws, you start out with the last contract. When we started negotiating, we started out with Jim Suttle's contract, which the city council rejected, and tried to make it better. The portion in it that he is saying that I allowed three firefighters in a backroom deal to spike their pensions, he had the exact same language in his contract that we rejected. No different, exact same. Those were the terms that he negotiated.
Gene Stothert, identify one particular project that you believe should have its funding reduced or eliminated.
Funding reduced or eliminated. A project. Let me think for a minute. I can't think of one thing off the bat in particular, but I think that what we have to do is make sure that all of the things that we are doing in the city, every project that we are doing, that we make sure that we are managing it as careful as we possibly can. I will always go back to the sewer project. It can't be eliminated. It is an unfunded federal mandate. But I think that we need to make sure that we are managing that project as efficiently as we possibly can. This is a huge cost to the residents of Omaha. It is a huge cost to the commercial customers and the industries that use a lot of water in Omaha. And we have to make sure that we manage that carefully and we make sure that these businesses and the residents aren't moving out of Omaha because of it. So that is probably the biggest project the city is involved in now. And that is one that I think is going to take very, very careful management, not only now, but in the future as that project moves on. It's ramped up in the 13 budget, another $168 million being spent this year, and it's going to take very careful management.
Jim Suttle, one project?
Well, I would zero out the city council's negotiating budget. That's a joke. I'm sorry. Okay, now let's get to reality. Your county and city have been working on something for the last 2 years. We're going to step up the pace as we get into the summer on how we address recycling countywide and look at the whole issue of solid waste, garbage, liquid waste, no matter who's generating it, whether it's industry, residentials, or whatever. But look at it in a whole new light on how we step up being a greener county, a greener city. More to come on this as we try to get from the resolutions of intent that we passed last year to how we put together the right package and structure to bring this forward. It's the right thing to do, and it's something that I want to champion in the next 4 years.
Gene Stothert, 30 seconds.
I would just say that every challenge that we have with the city, we must make sure that we are handling it as efficient as we can. Every city department, there's different projects going on, and the city department is only as good as its director. We need to make sure that every city department's director has performance audits in place and is able to be accountable for their budget and to make sure whether the project is roads, whether it's a new bridge, whether it's new construction, that we make sure that we are monitoring it and managing it as efficiently as we possibly can.
Jim Suttle for 30 seconds.
I don't know if I would add anything. I think we stand on the importance of fiscal business decisions that we put in place now. We've come through the horrible times together of 2009, 2010. We're in the good times of 11 and 12. Let's keep that solid. Now we can really grow our city. We're number one coming through this horrible recession. This is a nationwide position. Now let's do something with it as a people and take it forward so we can have a greater city.
Jim Suttle, in the World Herald this morning, the president of Omaha Steel Castings is denying your comment this week that the company's move to Wahoo is on shaky ground. Can you comment on that further?
Well, I would be happy to. We had worked over 3 years with Omaha Steel Castings, as with the Med Center and with the Chamber of Commerce. We put together multiple deals. But for some reason, my opponent kept saying that the city was the problem. The problem was the power. There were six generators, transformers that had to be purchased. Wahoo had those for free. And we had to cost those out here through OPPD, and there had to be a chargeback. Somewhere in this process, I got wind from several sources that something was not staying together out there. And I found out that the original six transformers in that site have disappeared. So they're on a new site, and I found out also now they're having to negotiate the value of those six transformers. Why can't we do that back here in Omaha? For this simple reason. Over 60% of the employees for Omaha Steel Casting live east of 60th Street. Don't you think that would be a better site for them to stay in Omaha, and particularly in North Omaha at the Ames Locust Industrial Track?
Gene Stothard.
You know, at the debate the other night, I was asked to name a couple businesses or give a couple examples of businesses that were either leaving Omaha or not coming into Omaha because of issues with our planning department and other city departments. I gave the example of Omaha Steel Castings, and I gave the example of Sam's up in Northwest Omaha, who, after struggling with the city, is moving out of the city and not going to build that Sam's, and taking the loss of jobs with it. At that time, at that debate, Mayor Suttle said that Omaha Steel Castings project out in Wahoo is falling through, and we are going to get them back into Omaha. That statement was not correct. And the president of Omaha Steel Castings in the newspaper today and on the radio today challenged the mayor for saying that. In fact, he said he was disgusted and he was very angry. He also said that there is zero chance that Omaha Steel is going to come back to Omaha. So here is an example of two different businesses, one that was existing here for 108 years, who is now moving out of Omaha, where I think the leadership of this city should have done everything they can to keep them here. You know, about 80% of the jobs in that industry, Omaha Steel Castings, come from North Omaha. If we want to talk about keeping good jobs here and bringing new jobs into Omaha, letting a plant that has been here 108 years get out from under our watch in Omaha and move to Wahoo is something that should not happen in Omaha.
Jim Suttle for 30 seconds.
Well, it sounds like, Gene, for the last 4 months, you've been trashing Omaha instead of trying to get some incentive going with Omaha Steel Casting to come back. We have so many examples of corporations that are here and stayed here. Just look out the window at Gavilon. Look at an old mill at the TD Ameritrade. Look at the other activities that are going on in the Med Center in the Saddle Creek. And we're trying to bring back the Sam's Club. We have discussions going on right now. We will continue to be aggressive. And that's what a mayor should do. That's what a mayor should be, in trying to make sure that we stand up for Omaha.
Gene Stothard for 30 seconds.
Saying I have been trashing Omaha is a very unfair and misleading statement, because it is absolutely not true. I will also say that Sam's is not coming back. There is no work being done to get Sam's back. The issue is we must have a more customer-friendly planning department and city government, that we are doing everything we can to keep existing businesses here and bring new businesses in. If we're going to grow our economy and grow our businesses, we must be a more customer-friendly, business-friendly city.
Gene Stothard, name one area of city government where spending could be curtailed sharply, for example, to reduce taxes, or move the savings to departments or programs much more in need, in your view?
I think when you have to talk about cuts, you have to talk where we're spending the most money first. And we're spending a majority of our money with pensions and health care. With health care, with the fire contract that we negotiated, we did reduce the cost and save the taxpayers $680,000 every year. But we need to do more. We had over 20 different health care plans. when I first was elected to city council. Now we are down to three. We need every city employee to be on one standard health care plan. But talking about health care also, we really need to look at our employee safety while they are on the job. Here's an area where we could save a lot of money. We have about 2,600 employees. Last year, over 500 employees were injured on the job, costing the city $7 million. We also have to look at our pensions, disability pensions. We only have full disability offered in the city of Omaha. We don't have partial disability, and we don't have a back-to-work provision. Last year, $10 million was pulled out of our pension system for disability pensions. If you want to look at areas that we could really save a lot and save millions, health care is an area, and work safety, those costs are huge. Last in this 13 budget, we have budgeted about $54 million in health care costs, and we have 2,600 employees. The reason is all of the retirees that retired early, some at age 45, and we're providing health care until they reach Medicare. This is an area that we really have to look at.
Jim Suttle.
Well, I find it interesting that my opponent is taking credit for things that my administration has been championing throughout the last 4 years, and she has not done anything to assist that. So health care is our third biggest expense, but we have employed the right carriers to save money as we deal with further aspects that are facing the city through Obamacare. We did propose reducing from 36 health care plans to three. In the fire contract, my opponent raised it back up to seven. We're still on a course to figure out how to get it to one. We will attack this disability, which is currently being paid for out of the pension fund. It needs to be in an insurance plan. And we're working on that, and we've been putting things together now for a couple of years on how do we make that transition, but it must be made during the negotiations at the table. We will continue to look at our efficiencies throughout the city. And the performance-based budgeting is the way that we have demonstrated over and over again that we can begin to change processes inside City Hall and get different results. And those results are the savings in the efficiencies. I'll give you an example. We're doing so much more in our park system and golf courses right now with 71 fewer people. That just didn't happen because somebody drew lines through names on paper. It happened because we began to find ways to pull equipment and pull people in order to get the job done. It's just one example of numerous others that my administration has been doing.
Gene Stothard for 30 seconds.
Jim Suttle's statements continue to be false and misleading. You know, the mayor is the executive branch. The city council is the legislative branch. The mayor can propose an ordinance or a new law. He can't pass it. He needs the city council to do it. Labor contracts, changes in labor contracts, it had to be approved by a vote of the city council. You know, I've been a city council member for 4 years now. I voted over 10,000 times in the last 4 years. And to say that the city council on a whole, or me, myself, wasn't involved is just a false statement.
Jim Suttle.
Well, I don't know what else to say in that, except my opponent has been the voice of no from day one. The first thing she tried to kill was the water slide at Lake Zirinsky. That had absolutely nothing to do with the problems of the city's financials. It had been voted on by the people. It was promised. It was its turn in the CIP. She tried to kill it. It would have cost us $200,000 to pay off the contractor and cancel the contract. She did not add to the solutions. She was trying to add to the problems. And we've seen that all the way along, every step of the way, until we get to even today.
Drive down many Omaha streets, and they are rough. From potholes or potholes not filled correctly. What should be done to take care of the problem, Jim Suttle?
Well, I think we've demonstrated that already, and we have fewer complaints in the potholes and snow removal because we've changed the plans. And part of that has been doing a step up in the resurfacing. My administration increased from what was 25 miles of resurfacing annually through the last 7-8 years to 91 miles. Makes a huge difference when you get your streets prepared for the seasons. We have more to do, but one of the mistakes that was made in the policy back in the 1990s was to start paying the OPPD electric bill from the gas tax account. That diverted $12 million annually that should have been put into street maintenance asphalt laydown, and other things. We're working now to restore that transition back to the general fund. It'll take us about another 3 or 4 years to do that, so we can get additional dollars back into the street resurfacing and begin to reestablish, I think next year, a neighborhood rehabilitation program for streets, which is something I championed in the 1980s and is one of the best programs ever put together by the city. We'll bring it back in another 12 to 14 months.
Gene Stotter?
I've been chairman of the Public Works Committee now for 4 years, and street repair, road maintenance is something that the entire city council has been concerned with, as well as my committee. We recognize that more money needs to go into street repair and maintenance. We did have our funding for street repair and maintenance comes primarily from the wheel tax and the state gas tax. Several years ago, that the formula to determine how much of the state gas tax we receive was changed with the encouragement of the city, because at that time we were encouraging them to change it to the wholesale cost of gas, because we thought the wholesale cost of gas was going up, we would get more revenue. What happened is it went down and we had decreased revenue. And so we had a lot of money that we anticipated for repair and maintenance on our roads pulled back. But we need to keep on prioritizing, and that is something, as far as infrastructure, is something that the cities is responsible for and what the taxpayers expect their tax dollars to go to. And if there's one complaint I hear the most is, my streets are not in good repair. And I think people, when they pay their tax dollars, they feel like that is something that is primary and basic to what city government should be providing. And I do agree we need to reprioritize and make sure that we have extra dollars, which, by the way, are all approved by the city council in the budget process, extra dollars into the public works budget for street repair, road and maintenance.
Jim Suttle for 30 seconds.
Well, I think we have two competing statements here by my opponent. First of all, she's going to roll back all the subtle taxes, including the wheel tax. Now she's talking about we need more money into the street account in order to do resurfacing. So which is it? Which is it? How are you going to do that, Gene? How are you going to do more resurfacing, that's more expenditures, at the same time cutting your revenue to get the job done?
Gene Stotter?
You know, it's all about prioritizing, and it's about making sure your city government is running efficiently. It's about making sure that every city department is modernized, reformed, and running efficiently. It's about getting a hold of the labor union contracts and not giving our fire and police unions everything that they want. We must get a hold of these labor contracts. 64% of our general fund budget goes to our fire and police department. And yet, as far as our crime statistics, as far as police go, you're not seeing a lot of bang for your dollars. We have to reprioritize, we have to modernize, and we have to grow our economy, and then we will have more revenue coming in.
And we are out of time for questions. It is now time for final statements. Each candidate will get 2 minutes, and with a coin flip, we have determined that Jim Suttle, you will be first.
I want to strike a contrast between my opponent and me. My opponent has been the voice of no for the last 4 years. That's what she's telling you she will continue to do into the future. I've been a voice of yes, getting things done, and you see it everywhere you go. You see it in the success story of how Omaha is the number one city that survived this recession. And Omaha is on so many number one lists that we probably need to have a contest of what the top 10 is of those lists that we're on. Right now, my opponent wants to pull the city backwards to 2009 and 10 financially as well as service. I want to lead our city forward to a brighter tomorrow, a stronger economy, and a stronger job base. My opponent is telling you about a story of doom in our city. I am talking about a city that's on the rise and a city that has so much potential. It's your call on the 14th. Let's go to the future and make Omaha the city of the 21st century. That's my pledge. That's what I've been working on now to set the platform for these last 4 years. That's what you'll see in these six major investment projects that we will have for our great city.
Gene Stother, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you to the members of the Omaha Press Club for holding this event today. I really appreciate your interest, all of your interest in being here. In the past 4 years, through tax hikes, new taxes, increased spending, secret salaries, there was a collective no expressed by the citizens of Omaha hoping someone would listen to them. And I'm listening to them. And with the primary over, now there was a collective yes in Omaha to new leadership. Yes to transparency. Yes to a more vibrant Omaha. You know, we have a great and wonderful city. We have great institutions of business and industry and education and healthcare and art and entertainment. But we can do better and we must do better. We are poised to be one of the greatest cities in the country. But with our current leadership and policies, we are not moving forward at the rate that we should. That is why I just found out today that the Omaha Chamber is supporting my candidacy for mayor of Omaha, because they also agree that we need new leaderships. And the leadership is going to require the best leader we can find to serve as mayor that will bring people together and provide that leadership that you all deserve. It has to be a mayor of steadfast principle, a mayor willing to make tough choices, a mayor willing to say no when you need to say no, and a mayor who will work with you, not against you, who will listen to you and make you proud of our results. I ask you on May 14th, for your trust, your confidence, and your vote, and together we can make Omaha a better place.
Join me in thanking both of our candidates.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we've heard the second of two debates with candidates for the office of mayor of the city of Omaha. Today's participants, the winners in the April 2nd mayoral primary, were Gene Stothert, current Omaha City Councilwoman, and incumbent Mayor Jim Suttle, seeking his second term in office. This program, co-sponsored by the Omaha League of Women Voters, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, April 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee and to the Omaha League of Women Voters for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Thursday, May 16th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speaker will be John Christensen, the Chancellor of the University of Nebraska at Omaha. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.